Today on episode 26 of Raising Financial Freedom, we are still in Financial Literacy Month, but it doesn't matter over here because that's every day for us. Today we have a big organization within financial literacy. Domain Financial Literacy Foundation has been making strong strides and pushing the envelope when it comes to financial literacy. Now, Robert Church, the executive director of Domain, is here with us today, and he's going to share financial literacy with us from the organization's point of view and from his point of view also.
We always want to build greater wealth, greater opportunities in life for our children than we had. So I think that having a financially literate or financially fit community, the more individuals that are financially fit, the better that our families and our next generations will do.
We were excited to get the interview, and we were just glad that Robert was able to devote some time to the interview, and we got it done. So let's get right into it. In 10, 9, 8.
Come on, Dad. Stop playing around and play the music.
Sheesh. Tough crowd.
Have you ever wondered why some people seem to have it all financially? Do well-off parents simply hand their children money?
Or is there more to this wealth thing?
Welcome to Raising Financial Freedom, the podcast. We are here to talk about everything you never knew to teach your children when it comes to starting their financial future. The principles behind wealth and methods that are out there to teach your child about personal financial freedom. There is no real trick to earning other than learning. We are here to discuss, teach, and grow with you. Raising Financial Freedom, the podcast, with your host and concerned parent, Eric Yard. Let us get right into today's show.
I would like to welcome the Executive Director of the Domain Financial Literacy Foundation, Robert Church.
Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here with you on Raising Financial Freedom, and I look forward to the conversation that we're about to have and certainly sharing the background of my organization and our work with you.
That's good, Rob. That is good. Nice to have you, and I'm glad we was able to link up. So, Rob, from what you've seen in the past and how things are now today with financial literacy, how far have we come?
I think with all of the focus on financial literacy education, really since the financial crisis of 2008-2009, many states have adopted standards for financial literacy. And to date, roughly 45 states have adopted standards for financial literacy, but we haven't made any progress with regard to what our children are learning within schools. Of the 45 states that have adopted standards for financial literacy education, there are only 24 states now that require personal finance education in schools. And of those, only 6 actually require that you take a course before you graduate high school. So we see the community, America as a whole, recognizing the need for financial literacy education, states adopting standards. And oh, by the way, those standards include economic education, financial education, entrepreneurial education, and personal finance education. We see schools moving to teach courses called financial literacy or entrepreneurship, but we haven't focused on teaching the basic skill set needed to manage personal finances. And I think that's what's challenging in one way. And in the other way, the fact that we've seen in the past year and a half, 24 states now adopt standards for personal finance education. We're coming to that realization. And I think where the passion is greatest is in low to moderate income communities. That's where the passion for financial literacy and personal finance education specifically has grown much greater.
So if it was up to you, Rob, how much financial literacy should a young adult, a child should be getting from, say, starting from first grade?
I think we should introduce basic skills and understandings related to personal finance education at the youngest levels. I think it should start when you're very young. Certainly as parents, we should begin to speak to our children more about finances, especially when it comes to budgeting and wants versus needs. But then I would like to see that evolve so that every student, by the time that they're graduating high school, have taken a 60-hour course in personal finance education, as well as received other opportunities for courses in economics and entrepreneurship in financial education.
Yeah, I would like to see something like that. Me personally, I feel that financial literacy should be taught like every grade. Different aspects of it should be emphasized as the child older.
I agree. I think at the lower levels, it's easy to integrate teaching some of these skills and abilities. But when you get to the upper levels, the high school level, for instance, I think it should be a course, a 60-hour graded, tested course in personal finance. Because if you think about it, we are sending young men and women who are about to make some of the largest, some of the biggest financial decisions of their lives as they graduate high school with no education. If you think about the cost of a college education today, $40,000, $60,000 a year, by the end of your college education, you could be almost $250,000 in debt.
That is correct.
And you're making this decision without having what you're going to do in life, what you're going to spend in college, where you're going to go for college, trade school, community college. And we are seeing more kids now go to community college for a year or two just to save on the overall cost of their college education.
Rob, you're a parent. So what methods have you used in your home to spread the word of financial literacy to your kids?
So one of the things we've always done in my home is talk about finances. We've created a budget in our house, and we talk about our budget. When our children were younger, we would have them create their wants and needs lists for Christmas, for their birthdays, and because young kids are very impressionable, right? So they see what other kids have, and they know what they don't have. But what they don't know is the choices that are being made for some of those, say, luxury items, and how making a different choice can affect their overall outcome in life. One of the things we at Domain teach a course in financial literacy, or we have a course in financial literacy, and one of our educators does a budgeting exercise with the students, connects with the parents and lets them know, hey, this is coming. We don't want to know your business, but your son or daughter is going to come home and talk to you about creating a budget that is based upon the career they've chosen in life, the cost of their college education, the cost of the debt that they're going to take on receiving that education, and then what are their living expenses going to be if they're living as well or better than they are now. And it's always interesting to have young men and women sit down and talk to their parents about the budget and then understand that the reason mom or dad didn't buy you that $200 pair of sneakers five times a year that you wanted, those funds went into helping support your college programs, your college fund, or to pay bills or whatever it was. And it's really interesting and awakening for a lot of students.
What I want to talk about is that also, if you had to, since you was just talking about budget, if you had, which is one of my favorite things to talk about, if you had to take a point out of financial literacy, whether it's saving or earning or investing, what would the one point you would choose?
Obviously, it would be budgeting, because budgeting teaches you to live within your means. And if you're not budgeting properly, if you're not planning your expenses based upon your income and weighing your wants versus needs, you can't achieve that savings or the funds to invest or the funds to invest in education for your children or in that new car when you need it. So I think everything starts with looking at your overall income, creating a budget, and weighing those wants versus needs.
Yep, I think so too. So, Robert, what if 50% of it was financial literacy. How would that change the landscape?
I think it would be dependent upon how you're defining financially fit, but it would certainly give a large part of the country would have a skill set that would help them better manage and plan their lives, their futures, and certainly plan for their families. I think that is the number one thing with us as parents. We always want to do better for our children than our parents were able to do for us. We always want to build greater wealth, greater opportunities in life for our children than we had. So I think that having a financially literate or financially fit community, the more individuals that are financially fit, the better that our families and our next generations will do.
And that's a good point right there, the next generation. And I think if we concentrate on that, your family line alone, much better off.
Yeah, absolutely. Of my siblings, we were all able to go to college. Our parents didn't. Our parents were homemakers, sheet metal workers, engineers, laborers for the most part. I was doing my family history, and I went back to see how many generations of my father's family worked at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And not only did my father work there, but his brother worked there, and his father worked there, and his father's father worked there. And then we've grown through that. In my generation, we've all, thank God, had the opportunity or created the opportunity to go to college. And of my siblings and their children, a greater percentage of our children have attended or are attending college. And a greater percentage are receiving postgraduate degrees.
Oh, that is absolutely good, because it just shows the progression of where the family is.
Absolutely. It also allows you not to become a victim. If we understand how to manage our personal finances, if we understand income and careers, pay benefits and deductions, taxes, budgeting, banks and banking, savings, investment, how credit works, how insurance works, we are less likely to become victims of a system that really is designed to benefit from our lack of knowledge. If you think how banks and financial institutions make money, they make money off of fees. When we overdraw our accounts or we're paying too high an interest, they're making money.
It is so funny that you said teaches us not to be victims. That is exactly what I do with my daughter. I intentionally try to cheat her whenever I'm giving her allowance or when she is paying for things at the store. So I would take a dollar less or a dollar more and see what she does. Right now she's a C. She's like a C plus student when it comes to math.
Even though I like you, Dad, right? It doesn't mean I'm going to let you get away with cheating me. And that what it comes down to. I have to say, I do similar things with my son, who now spends some time working with me. And I said, I think he owes me like $790 or something. I said, well, you owe me $800. He says, no, I don't. I owe you $790. I said, yeah, but you had to eat. Who paid for your food that day?
How about that?
Yeah, that isn't the agreement, Dad. This is my job, and this is you being a dad feeding me.
Yeah. So let's get into the meat and potatoes. What is Domain Financial Literacy Foundation?
So Domain Financial Literacy Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose main objective it is to prepare today's students for a lifetime of financial literacy or financial responsibility by offering culturally competent, comprehensive curriculum for schools that relates to where students are in life. And Domain Financial Literacy Foundation, actually, we evolved from a company called Domain.com, which was a company that was created by a gentleman named Ken D'Amato, a Fortune 100 executive, worked with Jack Welch at GE, Lee Iacocca, the former chair of Chrysler, another gentleman named Mort Collins, who's a venture capitalist. And the idea of domain.com was a website that was an engagement tool for banks and financial institutions that they would register their clients or their customers with, and customers would be able to learn money management skills. As they were developing the website, they brought in educators from throughout New Jersey to work with students to beta test some of the games and activities. And the teachers said, hey, you guys should do a curriculum. This is great stuff. So in 2012, Domain Financial Literacy Foundation was created as a nonprofit whose mission it is, like I said, to prepare today's students for a lifetime of financial responsibility. And our focus today is to develop, continually developing the curriculum for middle school, high school, college students as a comprehensive course in personal finance, specifically targeted towards youth who come from low-income communities, low to moderate-income communities, to educate, to empower, and to help them to overcome financial challenges in life by providing them with a skill set that they can use and build upon throughout life, managing their resources.
What are some of the partners and supporters and, I would say, advocates of financial literacy?
So certainly we're partnered with the Jumpstart Coalition for Financial Literacy and for Personal Finance Education. We're a national partner. And then we have local banks, financial institutions, local philanthropists who to support our organization. And we are working to create greater relationships with individuals that we can partner with that can help bring the Fit Kit into low to moderate income communities. And so one of the things I'm going to tell you is one of the interesting things with COVID and all of us being locked in our homes or offices is that sometimes it causes you to think about other opportunities for growth. And we were fortunate that one of our interns, we're an all volunteer based organization. So everybody who comes in here and works every day, who helps to develop curriculum, who lays out our curriculum, is a volunteer. And they're all, for the most part, young men and women, ages 20 to 26 years old. Excuse me. So one of our interns began working for a marketing company who was tasked with helping build relationships with an organization known as the Rapsnacks Foundation. I don't know if you've heard of the Rapsnacks Foundation, but it's run by a gentleman named Wise Intelligent, who is was a Jersey-based rapper from Trenton, and he was a rapper with the Poor Righteous Teachers. Through developing that relationship, we've come to meet another gentleman named Master B, and at this point, we're working on the possibility or the opportunities to create a curriculum that includes hip hop artists in the video content to help introduce concepts of personal finance in low to moderate income communities. So this is something we're really excited about.
Sounds exciting. Wow.
Yeah. One of the neat things about our curriculum is we've always gone into school systems. We've had the teachers teaching the curriculum, the students obviously learning, but we've gone in and talked to the students. We've talked to the teachers. What works with you? What's most appealing to you? And one of the things we did as a result of those conversations with students was we introduced original animated video content that introduces each of our units, and we have 8 units within our curriculum. As I said, it's a 60-hour tested program. And then we began introducing peer-to-peer video content, which was students talking to the students within the classroom, explaining how or why a certain concept is important or should be important to them. And the neat thing about this is, in discussing this hip-hop version of the curriculum, is that now we will have some of the most identifiable celebrities or influences in hip hop take up some of that video content within the curriculum. And it's very important. One of the things I found, Eric, is in my background, is that no matter where you come from, some of the stressors in life related to money, related to personal finance management, come from the same belief systems or the same challenges in life. So though I may be a Caucasian man from a farming village in upstate New York, friends of mine who grew up in the inner city, in Harlem, in the South Bronx, who came from the same type of economic conditions as I did, have the same stressors. And that's something we can share and we can build upon. So I think that having a curriculum that is reflective and that's in that hip hop voice will reach generations of young men and women who may have the same stressors, but come from different regions or different circumstances.
Wow. When do you plan to implement this strategy?
We're certainly hoping that by September, August or September, it's ready to go into schools. One of the other things we did as a result of COVID was we partnered with a company called CoreAchieve, and CoreAchieve is a leader in e-learning. And we are in the process of loading our curriculum into two basic e-learning platforms. One is a subscribable teacher presentation platform. So this platform would allow teachers to subscribe, access the curriculum online, and present the curriculum directly from the online link. It would also allow the educators to download the resources within the curriculum so that they can print and provide those resources to the students, or they can convert it into a PDF and drop it into whatever system the school is using to communicate lessons with students electronically. The other version of the platform is an e-learning classroom, which will allow teachers to log in to invite their students into the online classroom, teach personal finance online, gather responses, have discussions with students online, have students complete their work online, and then have that work automatically directed back to the educator in some circumstances already graded.
Oh, okay.
For them. The educator's job a little more easy. And then eventually we'll see the course evolve into a third platform, which will be an online self-study course where you can print a certificate of completion. And as long as the program was approved by your school, you can take that certificate to the school and receive credit for taking the course.
Yeah, they sound like definitely has some strong project.
By the way, we're also talking to a number of presently active and retired professional athletes across the sports about opportunities to have a curriculum that is supported and features some of these professional athletes.
Wow, that would be big. I know that would definitely
help. What is the Fit Kit and how is it helping to spread financial literacy?
So the Fit Kit is a comprehensive 60-hour course in personal finance with an additional 30 hours of extension kit activity. So at any time, a teacher can expand or contract the course or change some of their lesson structures for students. And the Fit Kit, the interesting thing about the Fit Kit is 69% of teachers go to the internet to find something to teach about personal finances or about financial literacy. To this day, I do not know of a college that offers a course that certifies you for teaching personal finance in a public school system. So what we've done is we've built a team of over 20 educators from throughout the tri-state area here in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and who at one point or another had a school leader walk up to them, hand them a book of standards and say, here, I know you teach social studies or math or business or computer science, but now you have to figure out how to meet these standards in financial literacy. So teachers went to the internet to find something to teach, and there are a lot of different products out there, a lot of wonderful content out there, but it has not been built from inside the classroom out to be a comprehensive course in personal finance, and that's what the Fit Kit is. So as an educator, as certainly as the leader of Domain Financial Literacy Foundation, I can tell you that we have an average increase of 40% in test scores pre to post assessment. I can tell you that young men and women who take our course, young women perform almost as well as young men. I can tell you that students who come in who need to learn the most because they've taken the pre-assessment of the course do learn the most as a percentage by the end of the course. Now, if I went to my local high school here and asked them, and they teach financial literacy, ask them what Mike's son knew when he started the course and how much he learned at the end, they couldn't tell me because they're not tested courses.
Right.
And that's one of the great things about the Fit Kit program is that it assesses students prior and it assesses students at the end. So we know what they're learning throughout the course. We know if we're not communicating something properly throughout the course, and we go right back in the next summer and we continue to refine content.
So now as a parent, how can I get my child involved in it? And also as a parent, say I didn't have any teachings in my time, can adults get involved in it?
Well, one of the great things about the Fit Kit course is it's designed to be taught within the school system by educators who are already teaching within the school system. That said, we introduced the Fit Kit into a inner city school in Philadelphia with an 80% Hispanic population. One of the challenges we found was that as the course was being taught, parents would call the school and ask because they were being asked questions at home and weren't sure how to answer those questions. So what we created was something called the Fit Kit Express. And the Fit Kit Express is downloadable from our website. It's 8 45-minute conversations that introduces the topics aligned with our curriculum to parents, caregivers, family members, young adults outside the school system. It provides an opportunity to learn a little bit about what's being taught in the classroom, learn a little bit about one of the concepts, whether it's income and careers, pay benefits and deductions, and then to have an exercise. And it's more built as a conversation. But in this way, we're able to introduce what's going on in the classroom to parents, provide them with a little bit of knowledge and maybe resources where they can go to learn more. But the most important thing is now the conversation is happening from the student to parent or caregiver or aunt or uncle or grandmother or grandfather in the home, so there's more likely to be action upon what is being learned.
Definitely.
Yeah. And incidentally, the Express programs are designed so that if a community within the Philadelphia area, a neighborhood, wanted to create a version of that curriculum that reflected people from that community within the content, we would be able to do that.
What is the biggest challenge, say, that the organization faces?
Well, as a nonprofit, the biggest challenge is always funding and then getting the message out there. One of the things that we've seen, for instance, our curriculum, one of the initial goals in fundraising for our organization was to work with banks and financial institutions to provide funding for the Fit Kit curriculum in schools and communities through their CRA obligation, the Community Reinvestment Act. And what the Community Reinvestment Act does is require banks and financial institutions to invest in the communities they serve, especially if those communities are low to moderate income communities. And what we've seen is a lot of banks and financial institutions look at funding for financial literacy education as a marketing opportunity, not as an educational opportunity. Mm. So getting them to invest in that has been a challenge, but I think things are starting to change. If you think about it, somebody coming into your school to speak to your child about a topic for 1 or 2 hours, how great can that impact be if there's no follow-through? So if somebody from a bank or financial institution comes into my son's high school to teach financial literacy for 1 to 2 hours, and they're not being graded on it. There's no testing on it. My son is in the classroom physically, but he's not there mentally.
One ear out the next.
Yeah. Now, if that person says something impactful, he might think about it for a day or two. He might think about it for a week. He might even do a little bit of research on the internet. But if there's no follow through, if there's not another talk coming in a week or two, if there's not anything to encourage him to want to learn more, eventually that'll die. And that's why we see personal finance education, certainly, we believe it should be taught as a comprehensive course. So it's treated the same way your math class is treated, your science class, your social studies class, for a grade. It's not treated as if it's something we just have to get through it. And as long as you show up, you're good. And for instance, here in New Jersey, where financial literacy has been required since 2014, you have to have 60 hours of financial literacy in order to graduate high school. Only about 1 in 6 of the state's 582 public school districts report teaching any skills related to personal finance education. Think about that. 582 approximately public school districts, only 1 in 6 reports teaching skills related to managing personal finance.
Crazy.
They all meet the standards because they will offer an economics class. They'll offer something called 21st century life skills. They'll offer entrepreneurship classes, but we're still not teaching them the basic skills they need to build upon to become successful becoming entrepreneurs.
And that's what we stress here, the foundation. Children need foundation. With this being Financial Literacy Month, what does Domain have going on as you speak about other companies?
So we've been working on our FitKit curriculum, and we were offering it to educators, to schools, the opportunity to utilize our curriculum over the summer at no cost to them to pilot the curriculum, to see if it's useful to them. And then our goal as well is that banks and financial institutions can actually support providing the curriculum to schools by donating the cost of providing that curriculum to the schools. And they get the marketing opportunity, they get the tax credit for it, and the schools benefit by getting the curriculum at no cost.
Well, that's good. That is definitely good. That's a win-win situation if I'm looking at it correctly.
Absolutely. And I think with the launch, if things continue to go well, with the launch of the hip-hop version of the curriculum with Rap Snacks Foundation and WISE, I think we will see that curriculum become greatly influential in schools and inner-city schools in low-income communities because of the appeal to young men and women in those communities. One of the things that was important to us in developing the curriculum is that, listen, you can have somebody from outside your community come in and talk to you from the sun goes up to the sun goes down. But because that person doesn't look like you, because that person doesn't relate to where you are in life, because that person doesn't share experiences with you, it may not have as great an impact as somebody who does look like you, who does understand the neighborhood you come from, or who does understand the community you live in. And certainly it's important that our curriculum is reflective of the students to which it is being offered.
I think that's what you just said there is so true. If there's someone who looks like you, always around you and in your community telling you about this.
Yeah, listen, but you look like me, you talk like me, you understand where I'm coming from, you've succeeded. Why can't I? I think that's very important. The mentoring process and engaging your community, I think that's something that's extremely important, no matter where you come from.
Yeah, I believe so too. Rob, during these times that we're in right now, how important is it that we make the best decisions about money?
Listen, I think if you look at the statistical information that's been gathered over the course of the past 2 years, you will find that low to moderate income communities have been more adversely affected by, as a result of the economic conditions created by COVID. I think that if you look at female populations, I think are at risk as well with regard to it because of the economic conditions. And I think right now we're looking at a time where there is potential for taxes, for costs, for inflation to rise, right? Gas prices have gone up here in the Northeast almost a buck in the past several months. So I think the less disposable income that you have, the greater they need the need to be more financially responsible with it, because the effect of not managing your finances is much greater, has a greater impact.
Yep.
So I think this is the time where we're starting to see states come to the realization of the need for quality personal finance education. And we're also seeing communities start to realize this and ask, how can we get this? How can we get this quality personal finance education into our schools, into our communities, and how can we help empower our young men and women with it?
You said a lot just there alone. You said a lot. Since you started on this road of financial literacy with Dr. Thormo, what is the best thing that's happened?
I think for me personally, the best thing that has happened is that I have learned to deal with some of the stressors in my life as it related to personal finances, growing up in the circumstances I did. So at times in my life, I was homeless, jobless, parentless. So I think from a personal standpoint, it's helped me connect with my basic understandings and improve, but also connect with communities who have similar or have had similar challenges in life. And I think from a foundational standpoint, Domain Financial Literacy Foundation, as I said, we are an all-volunteer nonprofit. So since I came to the foundation in 2015 to now, we have had hundreds of young men and women who put in tens of thousands of hours of their time because they believe teaching personal finance is an important skill that they want to help communicate to young men and women of their generation and of generations going forward. And I think the privilege of being able to work with these young men and women, not only teach them about the different aspects of nonprofit management, but also having them learn and provide input on a curriculum that is going to other students is something that's been very beneficial.
Oh, that sounds good.
I have two young women, sisters, who have worked for the foundation nearly almost 2 years now. And I say work, but they're volunteers. They have committed 15 hours a week. As you go through and you look at our print materials, you go through and look at the website for our foundation, you look at the online curriculum, the Fit Kid Online, that's nearing completion. They have their hands in every part of that. They've designed the layout of our pages. They've taken what our teachers have created and made it more appealing for students. It's just an incredible effort from these young people. And I would say this, it's just a wonderful thing to see young men and women grow and mature and to be passionate about something that they believe is important, and that's personal finance education.
Definitely. A salute to your team. What is the best piece of advice you could give the parents?
I think as a parent, the best piece of advice I can give is talk to your children about money. Start talking at a young age. My parents didn't talk about money, but I certainly knew when there was a problem when we didn't have it. Talk to your children about money. Make it fun. Make it engaging. Create wants versus needs lists for the supermarket. Create wants versus needs lists for the holidays, for Christmas or whatever holiday gift-giving holiday you happen to celebrate. And make it fun. One of the things our board chair did with his sons, and he was fortunate because he had the financial resources to do it. He has three sons. And he gave them each a certain amount of money and explained the stock market to them, for instance, and had them make the choice of what to do, whether they're going to invest it, invest part of it, save it all. And after a number of years, they followed it. And one of his sons invested it. I think he invested it in a stock that was about $1 a share. When it went up, he had enough money when he was 17 to buy his own car. But you can play that game, the stock market game, pick a stock in the paper, and every Sunday, sit down with the kids and say, okay, listen, how did this stock do this week? So if you had $100, how much do you have now? Make it fun. Make it interesting. And certainly teach them to save, but also teach them to give. Teach them to set aside a certain amount of money from their allowances or a certain amount of their time to give to help others. Because if we're not helping others, we all lose.
And with all that, that can be the foundation. Picture what they could build on that. Man.
Absolutely.
Rob, I think I want to thank you for coming on the show. You shared a wealth of knowledge with us, and I have a better understanding of what Domain does and what are they providing. Let us know where we can reach you, continue this conversation, and what else does Domain have going on?
Okay, well, thank you very much. I can be reached at www.dmfinancialliteracy.org or at ourchurch@domainfoundation.org. And Domain Financial Literacy Foundation continues to work on programs for high schools. We have a college program in the pipeline. We have our FitKit middle school program, and certainly the Express programs, which can be custom created and targeted within or for specific communities.
Wow. All those links will definitely be in the show notes. And once again, Rob, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, as you can see, why they are one of the main leaders in financial literacy. That conversation was full of gems, and I am just so happy that Rob was able to find the time to talk with me. As we close out the month, we will still be here giving you the leaders, the tools, the books, the advocates, all will be here talking about money. Hopefully you will take what you can and use with your kids. Until next time, stay safe.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Raising Financial Freedom, the podcast. Stay connected with us directly through raisingfinancialfreedom.com. You can also join the discussion on social media, which you can also find links on our website. If you would like to speak with us, please send us an email through info@raisingfinancialfreedom.com. And as always, thank you for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. This concludes the most thought-provoking portion of your day. Don't forget to please like and subscribe to stay fully up to date. Until next time, be kind to yourself and each other.